you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. A weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Well, what's new, Pussycat? My fellow geezers will instantly recognize that reference. Tom Jones, 1964? I should look that up. So, what's new, Pussycat? Tom Jones, and 1965. Well, I was close. Actually, 1965 was the year I broke into radio. I went in through the back with a screwdriver and a ball peen hammer. Sorry, I've used that stupid line all my life. I just couldn't help myself. But the truth of the matter is, I remember a lot of old, meaningless music trivia like that because, well, after all, I was a disc jockey for half a century. And, you know, when you play the same songs over and over and over on the radio, you begin to retain a vast array of worthless information about hit records. And yes, believe it or not, the music industry still refers to them as records, even though most people get their music from streaming services these days. Actually, vinyl is making a major comeback for a lot of music fans, because discerning listeners have discovered that records actually possess a certain warmth to the sound quality that digital recordings just don't have. In fact, I was talking to Mark McElroy and his son, Junior, over at Hope Automotive in Missouri City. I've told you about them before. It was just this past week. I took my truck over there to replace a burned-out headlight. And I told him a story that Clint Black once told me. This was several years ago. Heck, a couple of decades ago. And this was when digital recording was just getting started. Clint told his producer that the album they had just recorded lacked that certain warmth that he was accustomed to hearing, so he wondered why. His producer told him that it was because there's just a fuller, more resonant sound to audio that's been recorded on tape, as opposed to something that's been recorded, as we call it, in the box, or digitally, if you will. So Clint suggested they simply copy the digital recording onto a multi-track tape recorder and then dump the audio back into a digital workstation to do all the editing and the processing. And it worked like a charm. Suddenly, the sound had all that warmth, but they could still do the production work digitally, which is a lot easier, a lot more convenient. Of course, when producers started doing this on a regular basis, some techie somewhere built a unit, an electronic unit, that you could plug into the recording process that would do it automatically. But that's how it all got started, anyway. And certainly, somebody smarter than me figured out all that stuff. But then again, you don't have to look very hard to find somebody smarter than me. At the same time, you don't have to look very far to find someone dumber than me, either. You know, sometimes it feels like I'm surrounded by idiots. Am I the only one who feels that way? Of course, I'm the idiot for asking, am I the only one who feels that way? Because that just invites some smart aleck somewhere to say, yeah, you're the only one who feels that way. So I guess I'm just as dumb as everybody else. But I think we've all had that feeling at one time or another, or maybe just thought to ourselves, people can be so stupid sometimes, right? And to be sure, the number one location to find idiots is, traffic. I think it was George Carlin who once did a bit about how many times he's noted that bad drivers are either idiots or jerks. Boy, I cleaned that one up, didn't I? But really, if somebody speeds past you at 20 or 30 miles an hour over the speed limit, you almost always say, look at that idiot, would you? And if somebody else cuts you off in traffic, you almost invariably say, wow, what a jerk. No, I'm not about to use the word he used, but you get the idea. You know what I'm saying. And you got to admit he's right. After all, in all humor, there is an element of truth. And in this case, I think Carlin has hit the numbnut on the head. Yes, there are people who are just too clueless to realize how knuckleheaded they really are. But then there are others who act like jerks, but they just don't care. You know what I mean? In either case, there are times when I feel like I'm surrounded by one or the other, or sometimes both. And I know you've seen this online, but a friend swears they're true. There's a semi-rural area where there's a good deal of wildlife, and a woman called the local city council office to request that they remove the deer crossing sign on her road. She said, "There are too many deer being hit by cars out here, and I don't think this is a good place for them to be crossing anymore." Here's your sign, lady. And even my old friend Bill Engvall would have to admit, this is a story we've all endured in one way or another at some point in our lives. Customer went into a Mexican food, fast food restaurant, and he ordered a taco. He asked the person behind the counter for minimal lettuce, but the worker said she was sorry they only had iceberg lettuce. Use your words, Randy. Use your words. Okay, Mom. Here's another one. A family needed to have their garage door opener repaired. The worker told them they didn't have a large enough motor on the opener. The homeowner informed him they had the largest opener made at that time, a 1/2 horsepower motor. The repairman shook his head and said, "No, you need a 1/4 horsepower. The customer said, 1/2 is larger than 1/4. But the man said, "No, 4 is larger than 2. By the way, math is hard too, apparently. My neighbor told me this story. He was checking in at the ticket counter in the airport, and the employee asked, "Has anyone put anything in your baggage without your knowledge?" My neighbor said, "Well, if it was without my knowledge, how would I know?" To which the employee responded with a perfectly straight face, "Yeah, that's why we ask." I just want to ask, is the pilot of my plane smarter than you?
I sure hope so.
A friend of mine who works downtown said he overheard a conversation one day at a busy pedestrian crosswalk. The light beeped when it was safe to cross the street. So one woman turned to her friend and asked, "What's the beeper for?" Her friend said it was a signal for blind people so they'd know when the light was red. The first woman was absolutely appalled, and she said, "Why in the world are blind people driving?" Now, to be perfectly fair, it should be pointed out she is a government employee. But the best one happened when a man and his wife arrived at a car dealership to pick up their car after a service checkup, and they were told that the keys had somehow been locked inside the cab of the car. They went to the service department, and they found a mechanic feverishly working with one of those, what do they call them, Slim Jims, you know, to unlock the driver's door. The man was watching all this from the passenger side of the car, so he just kind of instinctively tried the door handle in front of him and found that it was unlocked. So he yelled at the technician, "Hey, this side is open." The mechanic said, "Yeah, I know. I already did that side." Sure hope he didn't work on their brakes. All of this is to say, stay alert, people, because they walk among us, they breed, and they vote. But at least that explains Washington, D.C., and Austin, and City Hall, you know what I mean? However, these same people also do other normal, mundane, everyday things that you and I just kind of take for granted, like drive, for instance, so buckle up. But they do other things that are a danger to society at large, like prepare food that the rest of us eat in restaurants or even at dinner parties in homes of other people. People who would otherwise be considered reasonably intelligent and knowledgeable about culinary standards and safety. But clearly they're not. Not if our earlier math and vocabulary examples are any indication. So we here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show have accepted the challenge to make sure the general public is a little smarter, or at least better educated in the practice of purchasing food items that are safe for everybody's consumption. And we're going to provide a couple of shows that will attempt to enlighten the clueless among us with regard to the finer points of how to buy good, high-quality food. We'll start with seafood this week, and then we'll move on to beef and pork and chicken next week. In this way, we can all rest easier. Or am I the only one who feels that way? Don't answer that.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's. Conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint, and hardware all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
First timer alert. Please say hello to Caleb Allison, who owns and operates Caleb's Crawfish and Seafood up in Montgomery County. Welcome to the show, Caleb.
How you doing?
Doing well. One of the things we always try to do is we try to make sure that our listeners know a little bit about our guests and their backgrounds. So let's start right there. Start out by telling us, where were you born, reared, go to school, where you've lived over the years?
Okay. So I was born in Spring, Texas. My dad is a pastor, so we opened up a church up here, and so we really got involved in the area and in the community. After a few years of doing that, I, of course, kind of broke off of that and started doing my own thing the older that I got, you know?
So you're obviously interested in the seafood industry. Were you a fisherman as a kid?
You know, strangely enough, I was never really very interested in fishing. It's kind of ironic because I do love seafood and everything that it entails other than the fishing aspect. So
how about that? Well, Dave Fremont of Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dike gave us your name and contact info to facilitate this interview. So how did you become connected with Boyd's One Stop?
Well, Dave's a great guy. He's wonderful. So
yes.
Jason Cogburn, the owner of Boyd's, we have been very close with him for a long time, really as long as I can remember. Him and my dad are very close in age, and so they've grown up with each other, if you will. And I always just, for some reason, had the inclination that I wanted to work there. So starting as a young child, probably 10, 12 years old, I would always bug him. Jason, let me come work for you. Let me come during the summer. And, you know, it never really worked out because I was young. I didn't see why, but he had something in his mind. So just always wanted to come down there, you know. So that's kind of where it all started.
So you actually moved to Texas City after you graduated from high school just to go to work for Jason Cogburn at Boyd's One Stop. Is that right?
I did. That's exactly right. And a lot of people would think you're crazy doing that, but that's what I did. So just a few days after graduation, you know, after all these years of asking and asking and getting turned down as a young kid, right after I graduated, he did not forget about that. He called me very, very quickly and asked me if I was still interested. So I did. I packed up all my things within just a few days, and I was down there a few days later working.
So what did you actually do for Jason when you went to work for Boyd's One Stop?
Oh, boy. I did a little bit of everything under the sun. I came in pretty hot under his wing, if you will. I helped with all of the operations. We did all the logistics, all the ticket making, all of the unloading and loading, the grading of the crawfish, making sure everything got where it needed to be, when it needed to be there. Just took care of any little task that you could think of.
But then after about 3 years at Boyd's, you moved back to Montgomery County to start a family. So tell us about your family.
I did. So I got to the place where I thought that I was done with the industry. And so I went ahead and moved back. We had some stuff in the family going on, with my parents and some other things. And so I decided, you know, this is the best time to go ahead and move back, you know. And so after a few months of living back up here, I met a girl. And, you know, the story goes from there. And now we have two beautiful children. One of them is now three, and then we've got another that's two. And so after a few years of living here and, you know, having a family going and doing all that stuff, I was in the construction industry, and that's what I got into when I moved back up, and I did not enjoy it as much as I thought I would. It sounded like something that would be fun, but quite frankly, people that are in construction, with what I was doing, they just don't really want to talk to you much. I was in sales, and so I sold you the equipment that you used, and, you know, nobody likes the guy that's trying to take your money from you. So that was that was just not quite what I thought it was going to be worked up to be. And so after a few years of doing that, I was not very happy in it. And, you know, I knew I needed to find something different. I just didn't know what that different thing was yet.
So you moved back to Texas City and went back to work for Boyd's?
I did. So after probably 2.5 or 3 years of absolutely no contact with Jason whatsoever, he called me out of the blue. I'm sitting at my office desk, and I'm not very happy where I'm at. You know, I'm getting yelled at by everybody under the sun because they don't like when we call them. And, you know, we're just sitting at the desk and my phone rings and it says Jason Cogburn. And I think to myself, what in the world? It's been 2-3 years. What is this guy calling me for? So I answered the phone and the first words out of his mouth were, "Hey, Caleb, how you doing? You ready to put in your 2 weeks' notice? I want you to come back."
So you went back to work for Boyd's, but then you had a brainstorm and decided to branch out on your own. How did that happen?
Man, I did. So I'm sitting there one day, and this is after about 8 months of being back. I had taken a load of crawfish in a reefer truck, and I had come back up to Montgomery County with it. I got it from Texas City, come back up to Montgomery County, and I'm sitting there on the side of the road. I found a local business up here that you know, agreed to let me come out there and use his property, which was awesome. And I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to sell these crawfish, and I'm just struggling. It was not going very well. The truck that I decided to use was completely blank, had no advertisements on it whatsoever. So I called my dad and I said, "Dad, I'm kind of discouraged. This is really difficult." Explained the situation to him. And so he asked me to take a photo of myself, kind of making a goofy face and pointing over to the left, and to send it to him. So I'm confused, but I did it because he asked me to. And, you know, 3 or 4 days goes by, or however long it was, and next thing you know, my dad sends me this little, I guess you could call it a bitmoji, or like a caricature, I think is what it's actually called. And he sends it to me, and I said, "What the heck is this, Dad?" Because it looked just like me. And he said, that's your caricature for your new company. We're starting a company. This is what we're going to do now." And I was like, "Oh boy. Okay." So the company kind of started, through his doing. Now, I've always wanted to own my own company. I've always talked about it. I've never really enjoyed working under people. So he took that, what he's been listening to me say for, you know, 5-10 years, and he ran with it. And he helped me get everything started. And so after about 8 months of working for Boyd's, that's when the company really started to form. That way I could very successfully and effectively bring the fresh and deliciousness of fresh caught seafood to the Montgomery County area.
So in a nutshell, you buy the fresh crawfish and other kinds of seafood from Boyd's. You transport it up to Montgomery County so that your customers on the north side can still get the same fresh quality seafood from Boyd's without having to travel all the way to Texas City to get it. So do you have a big refrigerated truck to haul all this seafood from Texas City up there?
Well, as of right now, I do not have the refrigerated truck. What I'm working with now, I've got a trailer that we've got it wrapped, and it's got all my information on it. That way we don't have the no advertising problem that we were having. But it's not refrigerated. So what I do, I take everything that I get and I put it into coolers and I ice it down like crazy. It's so cold, I don't like reaching my hand in there to grab shrimp out of it, but that's what we need.
And then where do you set up to sell the seafood in Montgomery County?
So I've got a couple of locations. We set up at a place on Rayford Road, which is South Montgomery County, may even be into Harris County. I'm not 100% positive, but it's Rayford Road. The place is called Tice Farms. And I'm there on Fridays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then on Saturdays and Mondays, I'm at a place on 1488 called the Farmers Market on Tamina. And that's my primary location. On Saturdays, I'm there from 9 to 1. And on Mondays, I set up there from 10 to 6.
Okay, so now we know about Caleb's Crawfish and Seafood. But we've run out of time in this segment, so can you hang around for another segment and maybe talk about shopping for that seafood?
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be wonderful.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, friends. Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're back now with Caleb Allison. He formerly worked at Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dyke, but he now owns and operates his own business called Caleb's Crawfish and Seafood in Montgomery County. Caleb quickly realized there would be a large demand in Montgomery County for the fresh seafood that customers can buy at Boyd's Seafood Market there at the base of the Texas City Dyke. So Caleb does all the legwork for you. He transports all that fresh fish from the Gulf at Boyd's directly to the north side and then sells it to his customers on a daily basis. So Caleb, tell us again, where can we find and when can we find Caleb's Crawfish and Seafood open for business?
Well, you can find us on Facebook. I do have a Facebook page, and it is called Caleb's Crawfish and Seafood. And crawfish is spelt with a K. Usually it's a C, okay, so don't misunderstand me, but it's Caleb's Crawfish and Seafood. So you can find us there, and you can find my cell phone number on there or my email, and call or text me anytime. And I'm always available. But we only set up on Fridays, Saturdays, and Mondays right now. But I don't mind making home deliveries. I don't mind meeting you at a specific location. I'm available 24/7, but if I'm not answering the phone or, you know, quickly available to a message, you can get on there, and we do have a site you can go to that will also show you all of our products.
Well, what is that phone number, Caleb?
Okay, the phone number is 832-367-9203. And that is my cell phone.
Now let's talk a few minutes about what we should be looking for when we buy crawfish. Let's do crawfish for starters. And yes, I realize they're not actually in season yet. But what should we be looking for in crawfish? Is size important?
Well, there's a couple of different factors that go into it. And a lot of it is personal. You know, there's a lot of personal that goes into it. So if you're looking... Myself, for instance, I don't really like the very, very big ones, the ones that people would call jumbos. My opinion, once you start getting up that big, the shells get a little bit tougher, but I also don't like the small ones, which you would call peelers or mixed. To me, there's just way too much effort that goes into that. So in the size aspect of it, it's very personal, whatever your preference is there. But what I would say you want to keep your eyes open for, the color of the shell sometimes can also affect whether or not it will be a very hard shell or a very soft shell, because they do go through a molt, which is just the process they go through when they're growing. But the biggest thing that you need to be worried about when you're buying crawfish, you always want to try to smell the bag if you can. And not everybody is capable of picking up on this smell or realizing that the smell is there. But it's a very distinct smell. It smells like ammonia, if you will. They release this whenever they're molting, and it just makes them really, really weak. And if one of them in the bag gets it, it spreads like wildfire and just starts killing everything. And you don't want that with crawfish. It's such a delicate live product. So that's the biggest part for me on crawfish. You want to watch for that smell.
Let's talk about other shellfish for a minute that your customers might love, like shrimp. What should we look for in shrimp?
So the biggest thing for me in shrimp, I would say, is fresh or farm raised, you know, and it's hard to, biggest thing for me is fresh or farm raised. And I would say that the taste difference is absolutely, absolutely noticeable. I did not actually care about farm raised or fresh until I started eating shrimp right off the boat. And once you do that, it changes your perspective on it. And that's what we have there at Boyd's. It's all fresh caught, nothing farm-raised. So I get that and bring it back up for Caleb's Crawfish and Seafood. But for me, that's the biggest thing. Of course, you want to make sure there's no stench to those as well. Nothing is turning pink. If you've got it turning pink, then it's really starting to go bad on you.
What about crab, Caleb? Talk about crab for a few minutes.
So with crabs, you can do them two different ways. You can get live crabs, or you can get them when they're already dead. If you're going to get crabs that have already died, you want to just make sure that they've stayed nice and cold, so that way nothing inside has started to go bad or get any kind of rot, if you will. Live crabs, it's really hard to find a bad live crab. Now, you're just going to want to make sure that it's a good time of the season so that they're full with meat. The worst thing you could do is cook a live crab and it's got very little meat on it because it's just so light. So you want to make sure that they are in a good time of the season. But whenever you're picking your live crabs, because most often you can pick your own crab out of the box, try not to get the ones that have the foam coming out of their mouths. When they're doing that, they're getting very weak and they're getting ready to die.
Yeah, that sounds like pretty good advice. But what about getting the crab meat off the shell? How do we do that, Caleb?
You know, there's a lot of different meats to remove there. So whenever you cook the crab, let's say you've cooked it live, it's got the shell on it and all, you pop that top shell off, you're going to break the crab in half, and then each of the legs are going to have their own little pieces of meat in them. The front legs are going to have smaller meat. The back legs will have the bigger meat.
Huh.
And then you're also going to get meat out of the pincher and out of the forearm, if you will, of the crab. And you just crack the shell and start peeling it off, kind of like you would an orange or something with the peel. You know, you just take the skin or the peel off, if you will, and you eat the meat that's underneath of it.
And then there's other kinds of fish. I saw you talking about snapper and flounder and catfish. There's always redfish. What should we be looking for in those cuts of fish?
Well, of course, you want to make sure that they're the right size, right? Because you can get too small or too big on those fish, and you don't want to be buying stuff that's not in regulation. But you want to watch for mushy. Make sure it's not mushy. Make sure there's no worms. Redfish, especially, they get so big that they're very susceptible to worms. But mainly, you're watching for just soft meat, mushy, kind of looks like it's been rained on a whole bunch, if you will.
Uh-huh.
You don't want that.
So, and that applies to snapper and flounder and catfish and redfish in general?
To my knowledge, that would apply to any of them. All of those meats get really gross looking if they're old, if they haven't been kept at the right temperature. Kind of wrinkly looking, or as if they've been rained on like sand would look, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so it should be rather obvious to the eye what is a good cut of fish and what is not. Is that correct?
That is correct, absolutely. If it starts to look disformed, then you know it's not right. Another big one, of course, with seafood, a big indicator is smell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the times, if it smells very fishy, it's probably a lot older. People don't understand this, but a lot of times with my product, especially coming from Boyd's, you know, after time, of course, everything's going to start stinking around you. But the seafood itself, you should not be able to smell much actual sea on it. You know, it should be very, very, very good smelling. It doesn't really smell like seafood.
But in the end, this is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, and you do that. You stage crawfish boils for special events and days. So tell us how people can contact you to get those services.
So we do. I love boiling crawfish. It's one of my favorite things to do. I love being around people and talking. So crawfish boils are right up there with all of it, right? So to get in contact with me, all you would need to do is call me or text me or use my Facebook. My number, again, is 832-367-9203, and we definitely would love to come out and do some crawfish boils. That's personally one of my favorite things to do, and we would also bring shrimp and crab and whatever else would go in the boil, right? So it's not limited to just the crawfish, but it's an awesome, awesome thing to go do.
And tell us one more time, what is your Facebook page?
My Facebook page is Caleb's Crawfish and Seafood.
This has been Caleb Allison. He owns and operates Caleb's Crawfish and Seafood on the north side. So you've been a delightful guest, Caleb. We'd love to have you back on the show sometime soon. Best of luck to you, young man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at Allspaw's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspaw's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspaw's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint, and hardware all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspaw's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspaw's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaws.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspaw's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
If you like oldies music, you will remember the song Land of a Thousand Dances. So here's the man of a thousand voices. He's my partner from the Hudson and Harrigan Show, Fred Olson. How you doing, brother?
That's funny. Boy, what, you threw me back to Land of a Thousand Dances for a second. Thousand voices, I don't know. I got a couple, you know, people say, you do voices, yeah, so how many? I said, most of the people I do really well are dead. You know, but I enjoyed them while they were alive. And, you know, if you can remember back to some of those days, you're going to go, who's that?
So Land of a Thousand Dances, I got to talk about this a minute. I researched it.
Okay.
And the guy who wrote this was Chris Kenner, and he wrote it in 1962, but the record was a stiff. That's an old radio term for unsuccessful. But then Cannibal and the Headhunters had a turntable hit. That's another radio term for a kind of a marginal hit. And then Wilson Pickett took it all the way to number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Here comes your part, Fred. Or as Casey Kasem would say,
number 6 on Billboard, but number 1 in your heart. Here's
Cannibal and the Head Hunters, Land of a Thousand Dances. We'll be right back after this word from Smuckers.
And then Wilson Pickett's version was in 1966, but you probably already knew that. Because we're DJs, and we're absolutely full of useless music trivia information like that. I drive my poor wife crazy. We'll hear an oldie on the radio or maybe in a store or a restaurant, and she'll start mouthing the words of the song, and I'll say, name the artist, and she'll go, oh, don't do that. You ruin it every time. You just want to show off.
I was sitting there with a friend when I was sitting out on the deck, and it was one of those kind of coolish nights in July, and then he started pulling up songs. I go, oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, those are the tremolos, or that's this, that. And he goes, how do you know all that? I said, some of those I played. You know, we've been in the business long enough where those were hits when we were on the radio.
Yes.
Oh, really? I said, yep. That was like, I guess, or I remember the actual label on 45 spinning.
Exactly.
Like Roulette Records or some of those, and that's how I kind of remember them. But yeah, it's what a blessed time we've had. What a blessed life in radio and we still love it. I mean, I still love the medium. I don't listen to it a lot, but I like small town radio now. I like hearing people, you know, just trying to find their voice, or they're imitating somebody, or trying to be, you know, find their own personality on the radio. And it took me years to do that. I emulated. I wanted. There was a guy out of Chicago, WLS. Bill Bailey,
yeah.
WLS Chicago.
Sure.
And that's the guy I thought I would fake that and go, well, why don't you just be yourself? I went, oh, but will people like me? You know, so you find your own, it's true in life too. We find our own voice, right?
But I can remember even the year of a song a lot of times, because you remember we used to put the year on the label to remind us so we could say it like it came right off the top of our head. And I can also associate the year by what radio station I was working at that time. Until 1980, and we were on the H&H show together, and we went country. Then I stopped listening to pop music altogether. As my wife said, we bought a pair of cowboy boots and hung on for dear life. As a matter of fact, I even bought a nice cowboy hat, and I think I even wore it once or twice, but I could be wrong. People ask me all the time how radio has changed over the years. And one of the first things I usually say is, well, when I started in radio, disc jockeys actually played discs. So that should tell you something.
Well, you know, and I'm not denigrating today's team shows and all that, but everybody's really, again, very homogenous sound. Everybody's trying to emulate everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the old days, you know, you wanted to stand out.
Right.
Not, you know, hook onto some other coattails, or let's be successful. Like I was saying, I tried to be somebody else for a long time, but until I was myself, I was not successful.
Right.
So then there was only a broad variety of characters and personalities, and now it's kind of all, again, corporate, and we have to reach this level of mediocrity, and let's stay there.
Well,
and I'm being judgmental, but it's true.
Well, enough about radio. You know, last week we never got around to talking about the actual subject for that day's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, because we talked about the Texans so much after that disappointing loss in New Orleans. But the subject last week was pellet grills, and just to be clear, you do have a pellet grill, right?
I do, and at first I thought it was going to be sacrilegious.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
It's the easy way out. And then one time I decided to pull the trigger, I researched the heck out of it. I mean, I spent, you know, I don't know if you know me, folks, but I actually read directions. And I researched, my wife will tell you, I'll research something for like 6 months before I pull the trigger. On things like that, they're important to me, like a pellet grill. And I found this one brand that I read everybody's blogs on it. I watched the videos. I called the people, talked to them. You know, so I found the one I wanted.
Which brand was it?
It's called I don't know these guys to promote them, but it's called a Rectech, R-E-C-T-E-C.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of Georgia. They're out of North Georgia.
Well, now, Traeger is the guy who invented the pellet grill.
Right.
And he was actually from Oregon, where you grew up, and they had a lot of sawdust from the lumber industry, and he came up with the idea of compressing all that sawdust into these little pellets to use for wood-fired furnaces to create heat in the wintertime. But then he realized he wasn't selling any pellets in the summertime, so that's when he came up with the idea for the pellet grill. So that's where it came from.
Yeah, and Traeger's are good. I mean, they're all good. The reason I chose this one is because it's so consistent. keeping the heat. And their technology and all sorts of Wi-Fi. I can control it from church. If I'm in church on Sunday, I can go, okay, set it to 225. All right, so that's the internal temp. I'm good.
Well, now, have you ever tried to grill anything or sear something like burgers or steaks on your pellet grill?
I haven't done that. I've just done just smoked things.
Well, last week's guest, who is actually our executive producer, Greg Berlocker, he said that the pellet grill doesn't really reach the high temperatures you need to grill burgers or steaks, or at least to his satisfaction anyway. So that's the only drawback that I've heard about.
Yeah, I didn't get a pellet smoker to grill.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I know people who use it 2-3 times a week or more to prepare all their family meals, and they're thrilled. I mean, whether it's burgers or whatever, it'll go up to about 500 degrees, which is pretty darn good.
Yeah, so what kind of things do you cook on your pellet grill?
Well, like I said, I love spatchcocked or kind of butterflied a couple of chickens the other day that my wife just fell in love with, and a turkey breast with that. And it's just what it does for chicken, for white meat, it's just phenomenal. Then, of course, I love brisket and ribs. Good grief. I great ribs recently. And the thing is, it's easy. You can be brilliant, trust me, with a pellet smoker, no matter what you choose. They're all good. I mean, there's some really good ones. And you can be consistent with the heat, whereas with stick and fire, which I understand guys love that. They like to sit around and watch it every half hour and drink beer. I get it.
Yep.
I've been there. But I like to be able to walk away and do other things and check my phone and go, yeah, it's about an hour away. And it makes it a little more foolproof. And again, if you're spending $100 for a brisket, for a prime brisket,
yep.
I'm not leaving it to the fact that my ADD will kick in and I'll wander off for an hour and go, oh, no. it's a matter of consistency. And I have other grills I can do if I want to, you know, do sticks and fire, or if I want to do charcoal or gas. I'm a little overcommitted to outdoor cooking right now. So I've got a bunch of different ways to do it.
Well, on this show, you can never be over-dedicated to outdoor cooking, Fred.
Maybe I overcommitted buying too many devices. I think I'm done for a while.
Yeah. It's an addiction. I have to work on it, too. I'm Randy, and I'm addicted to outdoor cookers. Well, I even saw one website claim. Now, I don't know whether this is true or not, but I saw one website claim that you can actually bake an apple pie on a pellet grill. Now, I'm not sure I'm that adventurous.
Sure you could. I mean, the higher the temperature, the lower the smoke level, right?
Right.
You're going to get some smoke, but the hotter it burns, you know, I think lower temp, I get more smoke and it hangs around longer. But if higher temp, I don't seem to have as much smoke. Now, if I want to smoke, I have a smoker box on it, so I'll deep smoke tomatoes for salsa, but I'll do that at real low temp.
Right.
Get a lot more smoke coming out of there. You know, it's not burning as fast.
Well, we've done it again. Today's topic on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is seafood. So have you ever tried to smoke fish on your pellet grill?
Yes.
Thank you. Last week, we never left the topic of the Texans.
Oh.
And this week, we never touched on the topic of the Texans. So we'll do that next time, okay?
Okie doke.
Love to Bev, and keep your coals white hot, old buddy.
And I hope you have success with your speech impediment there. I do.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something up with me.